Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Handsome, chatting with friends on the Handsome Pod. Chatting with friends on the Handsome Pod.
Cheers.
Hello there. Welcome to yet another episode of Handsome, the worldwide podcast phenomenon everybody's talking about. It's me, Tig Notaro, and my co-hosts,
Fortune Feimster
and Mae Martin.
Oh, we've done it again. We've met up to do some silliness.
Everybody's talking about it.
Everybody is talking. You know what it reminds me of is, you know when you're driving along and you see a restaurant and it says world famous hamburgers?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, really, are people in Rome talking about this dump on the corner of Hollywood and Vine? I don't even know if there's a hamburger place on the corner of Hollywood and Vine, but
there's
it just
some guy listening whose restaurant is at Hollywood and Vine. He's like, hey.
Well, be glad that I plugged your restaurant at Hollywood and Vine. Thomas, can you let us know what is actually at the corner of Hollywood and Vine?
I saw a billboard last night, actually.
That's awesome, Fortune.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Whoever made it, it's a little more humble than that, but still like bragging. They said probably the best hamburgers and hot dogs in town.
Okay, I can accept that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's completely acceptable. But when I see these restaurants that say, claim to be world famous,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
This also leads me into another thing I like to do. When I go to a restaurant and I'm ordering some food, I'll say, could I get the world famous French fries, please? and I love to put world famous in front of anything. And then the waiter at the restaurant who knows that is not called the world famous.
I went on a date once and my date said to the waiter, what's good here? Like, what do you recommend? And he was like, the French fries are really good. I just thought that was really telling.
That's the only thing. What kind of food was it?
It was like sort of American. I don't know. It was a nice restaurant, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
When the French fries are the go-to, then I don't know about ordering anything else.
At the corner of my street growing up, there was a place that said the greatest schnitzel in town.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We never tried it. How much schnitzel's in town?
I have to say, the word schnitzel, if it's bad, like if you've had really gross schnitzel, that sounds really gross.
That's true.
You know? Ooh, I got sick on bad schnitzel.
And now I've got the schnitzels.
Who schnitzeled all over the floor? World famous, terrible schnitzel.
So what is that Hollywood and Vine? Did we find out?
Thomas?
There's a sushi restaurant called Katsuya.
Oop,
and it has actually been designated the LA Times Reader's Choice Best Sushi Restaurant.
Okay, they owe us cash. What else is on that corner?
The Pantages is right there. The Pantages Theater.
The Pontages.
The Ponty
Ooh, good
Stages.
One.
The Ponty Stages. Has everyone got their Ponties on today?
Oh, yeah. Never go a day without them.
No Ponties for us.
You never go Pontilas?
No,
me?
I don't think.
No.
Yeah, I don't either. I just figured between the three of it, it's usually two against one on something. And so we're all like got our big girl panties on.
Yeah, that's true. None of us go commando.
Mm-mm. Commando.
No.
That's more of a, if you kind of, you know, a pee in balls, you got to go commando sometimes to let them breathe, right?
Pee in balls.
Doesn't every part of the body need to breathe sometimes?
Yeah, that's a good
Why
point.
Do those things just need to breathe?
You're right.
Because they're flopping around.
How would you know, Fortune?
I've heard they flop around.
You've heard them flopping around.
Because guys are always adjusting them. They can't stop touching their P and Bs.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If you could have a P and B for one day per month, would you do it?
Maybe on a road trip when
what?
I didn't want to stop and
oh, you could just go into a bottle.
Yeah.
Right.
Otherwise, it seems like a lot to have dangling around.
Dangling genitalia. Yeah. Let's not make Thomas feel bad about his body.
No, okay. I would choose
Shame.
I would choose it. Do some
Shame.
righteous boning for one
okay.
day a month.
You would have a righteous boner?
One day a month, yeah. Well, yeah, that would be a problem. I would have a righteous boner the minute I woke up. I'd have one day. I couldn't leave the house.
I just have a righteous boner.
May is so righteous. But I hear you, Fortune. It does sound appealing to be able to urinate on the go.
Yeah, and even if you stop somewhere, you're not having to put down the thing on the toilet seat and...
Well, do you put down the thing on the toilet seat
oh,
or
yeah.
do you hover?
No, I put the thing on the toilet seat. I don't have the leg strength to hover.
even after all of the treading you've done?
I'm working my way up to doing that. Yesterday,
to being able
legs.
To hover over the toilet.
I said fitness goals for 2024, to be able to hover over a toilet and not actually sit down.
Oh.
Have you heard of those, they're called she-pees?
Uh-uh.
So let's say you're at like Glastonbury Music Festival or whatever. People
okay.
get, it's like a plastic thing with a tube and you put it, you can, so you slide it into your pants and then you can pee and it comes out the tube. And
I have wow. seen that. But I
where would
feel
you
like
see that?
Yeah,
in life, not like, I mean, like at a probably at a gay event where it's being sold or something, and not like just people.
Wait,
using
why a gay event?
Yeah, what?
I've seen them at like, you know, like a Dinah Shore weekend or something.
Really?
But wait, why? What?
I don't know. People have to sell their goods.
But why is this in the queer community that
yeah.
people are urinating through a tube?
Because. I don't know. Some people want to pee like that.
I see.
Well, Fortune, I'm just trying to get to the bottom of what you saw at Dinah Shore, at all your visits to Dinah Shore.
I mean, I just saw it like once maybe, like as one of the goods among many other goods.
A sheepy.
Like, hey, if you're also in the wilderness, mm-hmm. you lesbos like to camp.
Well,
here's
I
this.
Had a, I had a friend who was came up to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and was like, I brought my sheepy. And I was like... The Edinburgh Fringe Festival is like a theater festival in a city where you're passing
like
by
bathrooms.
Starbucks. There's like tons of bathrooms. It's not like you're camping in the...
Well, so it you urinate into it and then how long is the...
And then it runs down your pants. There's no way I would do this right.
Wait, it runs
piss.
Down your pants?
No,
for me, I would piss all over myself.
Okay, but for the she-pee, how long is the tube that it comes out?
I think pretty long. And
uh-huh.
I don't know really what situation it's for. I guess, yeah, if you're on the road or if you're like, you know, you see footage of, like, I would never go, I'm too anxious, but like at Glastonbury where it's like 10,000 people just standing
yeah.
shoulder to shoulder watching. If you're stuck in the middle of there and you got to pee, you're screwed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all the dudes are just peeing right there into a bottle.
They pee right there?
I think so. So
oh,
if you have
God.
Your sheep pee, I know.
It sounds like,
animals.
First of all, we have a new sponsor. But also, people must use that for New Year's Eve in Times Square.
Or wear a 100%. Diaper, no?
Diaper. Well, yeah, I think they wear diapers, but I mean, I would, if now that I know that exists, first, well, I would never be standing in a crowd.
In- Me neither. This sounds like a nightmare.
Oh yeah. My God, a living hell.
Same, actually. All three of us are on board with that. All
yeah.
three.
Yeah. There's nothing I like enough to stand there for it for hours and hours and hours and hours.
Especially in the cold.
New York in the winter? No. Yeah. No way.
I don't want to see that ball drop. Outside, you have those people get there like 5 a.m.
I know you can be at home.
I don't think I would. The sheep pee in theory sounds nice. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty confident I would pee all over myself. And now I have pee all over myself and a silicone thing with dry pee mm-hmm. on it.
In my rehab days, there was a big thing that. The guys, if they thought we had a drug test coming up, they would have all these devices they'd try and pioneer, like a pee test. They'd be like, okay, I'm going to get my friend's pee and put it in a bag and a tube coming down my leg. And wow. It never worked, you know.
Wow.
If only they applied that to other things.
If they applied themselves, yeah. Yeah. That level of ingenuity and commitment.
I went to a party last night and...
Fortune!
I know. I have to say, I pretended that I was at a wedding.
What?
And they did play that song Cupid Shuffle that you guys never knew, but that is a big hit at weddings. And I danced in the middle of all these folks.
I know the Harlem Shuffle by the Rolling Stones.
I'm confused. So this, I was supposed to be at this party, I think, but I'm sick.
Yeah.
You went up to the... whoever's hosting
no, the
this
DJ was so good, and you know, no one dances because it's like an industry type party.
Yeah,
no one dances at these things, and the
fortune does.
The DJ was so good that I was like, I'm gonna dance. So I in my head pretended,
oh okay,
this is like a wedding.
Okay,
yeah. I just started. I danced for like an hour and a half.
Are you serious? Mm. That's awesome.
If you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
Wanda Sykes started dancing with me, and yes. Mira Wiley and Punky Johnson. We were dancing.
Dancing
and everybody
the night
was
away.
Jealous of how good we were at dancing.
I need proof of the jealousy.
I know. I'm like, were they saying that?
Wanda and I had such a good time that we danced. When it was time to go, Wanda said, we can't be the last ones here. We got to go.
Oh,
I
my
said,
God. Right.
And then we danced out of the party and down the walkway.
What
party.
Were your wives doing as you two frolicked together
Wanda's
down the
wife
sideway?
Was not there. Her best friend was there. Jax, I think at one point, did get her camera out and take some video, as a good wife should.
Yeah. As a good wife should.
Were you singing? Were you
oh,
bolting
yeah.
it?
Oh, yeah. They were playing jams.
Uh-huh.
A lot of throwback songs.
Uh-huh.
Like my girl's Salt and Pepper. Oh, here I go. Oh, here yes. I go. Here I go again. Girls, what's my weakness? Men. And I make sure I shout that.
Yeah.
People know they are my weakness.
Now, would you say in general that you love to go out and party?
No, I'm not a party gal.
What gets you out? Like, what party will make you go out? Because I am not a party gal either.
Mm-hmm.
But every now and then you'll see my face pop up.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you and I ran into that one holiday party.
Yes, we did.
Well, you came to my birthday and you were a real hit. There was a real ripple of excitement when you arrived.
I would hope
I was
so.
Honored that you were there.
First Tig.
Yeah. Tig, sorry. Sorry, Fortune.
Fortune.
I was thinking, I went to May's party and no one seemed that excited.
Well, it sounds like maybe you party more than I do. I make very selective appearances.
Yeah.
You're a partier though, May.
I go in through phases. In the summertime, uh-huh. I like to be out a lot. My favorite thing is like a corny house party with like, that's a little sloppy and people are dancing and uninhibited. I don't love being out in a bar.
Stuffy.
Yeah, or like too crowded. Like a house party's good where there are little pockets of people talking in different rooms and you can like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't go to a lot of house parties.
I know.
I went to yours, May, and my friend had a holiday one.
They die out as you get older.
I go to some of these Hollywood parties just because it's part of the sh- part of the deal. Mm-hmm. They have an open bar at least. I can get an old fashioned.
Yeah.
There's usually a slider.
You certainly can't. You can't make that at your own house.
No.
Yeah. Couldn't
possibly.
Slider
situation, a piece of pizza roaming around.
Yeah, that'll get fortune out to
that'll
the party.
Get me out of the house.
Tig, what's the song that would get you up on the dance floor? Like you're at a party, you're kind of like, I think I'm going to head home soon. And then this song comes on and you're like, oh shit.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. that gets me going. God. Oh yeah,
throwing
love
karate
that.
Why do you stop? That girl was fast as lightning.
Yeah. Do you like that song, May?
Yeah, I love that song. And my friend borrowed his dad's car and totaled it when he was 16, and he had the radio blasting. Got in a car crash, and he said that in the moment of silence after the car crash, because the radio had been playing, that song was just still playing. So he was like in shock. The car was crashed and he's there. Like, I think the airbag had deployed and he just hears everybody was kung fu fight.
God, I hate to reference my special again, but that's like in one of my bits, I have this imaginary car crash with me and Martha Kelly and Steve Agee. And we crash to Dolly Parton's Two Doors Down. And that song is blaring from the demolished car. So it's that same idea of just like kind of a silly, fun song. Just cranking from a totaled car.
Very cinematic.
Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, as long as everybody's okay.
Yeah, he was fine. He was also like just going to be in so much trouble from his dad.
Mm.
And
yeah.
The fact that he'd been blasting that song just made it so much worse.
That's such a good song to crash to.
Yeah.
Especially if it's on loop, which that was the other bit to my joke was that the song was on replay and it just goes on and on. Not only do you crash, this gets dark. The idea is that you die and we can cut that part out.
No, which, I like this.
Which part's
the idea
dark?
Is you die and that the song is still playing on loop as you float up.
Well, not just that. You die and then your body decomposes and the song is still playing. And then, a deer or a bear walks up and eats your remains. And then this isn't in the special, but it was.
I love that.
And then the bear eats and then, of course, poops. And the song is still going. And and then a little plant grows, in the springtime.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way.
On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Like, who at Pepsi thought it'd be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? When they launched their Pepsi points system, they never imagined that somebody might try to snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly Pepsi owed him a jet.
Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I met Dolly twice.
What?
I met her once. I used to be a journalist back in the day for 7 years. That was my day job as I was pursuing comedy.
No.
Yeah, I would cover events and talk to people on the phone, and I went to some music event. She was there, and this would have been about 2004, and I looked at her boobies. I'm not gonna lie.
Fortune.
I looked at her boobies.
Oh my gosh. And well, were they really on display?
It's Dolly Parton. I mean, they're kind of always on display. They're just, at least, especially at that time.
Do you think if somebody's ever been talking to her, she's been like, hey, my boobs are down here. Like if they were looking at her in the eye. Like, excuse me, my boobs are down here.
My boobs are down here. She was so delightful. Was she? I met her again a couple years ago at one of those Hollywood Emmy parties or Oscar parties. I can't remember. And it was one of those parties where they're like, nobody take a picture. Mm-hmm. And I met her and in my head, I'm like, I want a picture so bad just mm-hmm. to be able to look at us together and put it on the wall.
Look at her boobies, yeah.
And look at those boobies. And she was delightful and wonderful. And at the end of the night, about 30 people posted their pictures with Dolly. I'm like, what?
Oh, damn. Damn.
You rule follower.
I was a dumb rule follower. I'm such a rule follower. It's so stupid.
I'm glad to hear she was nice to you because I've heard she is actually nasty.
What?
Not true. No. Look at the horror in both of your little faces.
You were just trying to stir up drama.
Can you think of any worse news than hearing that Dolly Parton is a nasty woman?
That would really break my heart.
Broke my heart for a second. That was so rough. Tig's
like, I'm just teasing.
Oh my God. Because I thought she was the loveliest. Oh man. She was also an invisible producer on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show.
For real?
Yeah. Yeah. And but actively, you know, exec produced it, but she didn't have her name on it because she wanted people to, I don't know, take it more seriously or something.
I would take it so seriously if Dolly's name is on it. I'm like, okay, because I can't imagine she just tosses that thing around. Dolly Parton.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, speaking of names, you ready to get into this name?
Let's get into it.
That's a hit song, Fortune. Today's questioner is an actor and musician best known for playing Alice. Well, it does say Lice, playing Lice, but I think that is
a typo.
I do. I think it's a typo because I can't imagine her name on this show is Lice.
She's playing Lice.
She plays Lice in
Once
the L
per
word.
Episode, it zooms into someone's head and there's a tiny little cartoon of the lice.
She plays Alice in the L word and the L word Generation Q. And she was one half of the pop duo The Murmurs and has a delightful podcast called Pants with Kate and Leisha. Leisha Haley.
Hi. Okay, this is Leisha Haley. And my question for the three of you is, have any of you ever had a creative idea that you fully believed in? Like, your heart and soul went behind this idea and you thought, this is amazing. Everyone needs to see this. And people watched you do it. Like, you just went towards it full stop and people were just surrounding you like, yeah, you're doing that thing. And then in hindsight, after it doesn't work out, you look at that project and you go, huh, who was that? Like, what part of me thought that was a good idea? And you're embarrassed that you ever did it. Has it ever happened to you?
That's funny.
That is really funny. Is she thinking about the time she agreed to play some lice?
Yes, the perfect question from Lice.
Leisha's so sweet. Stephanie worked a lot with Leisha on the new iteration of the L word.
Yeah, the L word Generation Q.
I was in a couple of the episodes in the first season of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah?
I think they thought I would probably be a bigger part of that world. Mm-hmm. Alice's TV show. I was playing her cousin. And we had like a writer's, I was in Italy and they like called me like to discuss ideas and character stuff. And I was like, sure. And I taped a couple and I think they realized they have too many characters in this show. And I basically was like, cut, you're right. And then, like, that was, and there was three episodes of that. And then Alice's cousin just never was seen of again. Oh man. I had like a whole monologue and I had this whole spiel I taped.
Wow.
Like, we don't need this.
It's so funny. That happens all the time in TV and film. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
When you tell people like, oh, I'm going to be on this thing or, you know.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I don't know if I've shared this story, but years ago, I mean, like 25 years ago, my friend lived in a building with somebody who was pursuing acting and they had like a watch party mm-hmm. for something they were in.
Yeah.
And we all went over there.
No.
Well, they were in the thing that they said they were in. We just were surprised to find out that they were just an extra pushing a gurney down the hallway of a hospital.
And y'all had to watch this.
And it was basically you kind of caught the corner of her face and you just saw the back of her head pushing a gurney down the hospital hallway while you ate cheese and crackers and stuff. And anyway, it was just, maybe I sound like a jerk sharing that story.
No, I mean, I get they're very excited, but yeah. it is for a part. Like when you're an extra, you know, you're barely going to be seen or.
Yeah, I guess it's just a situation of like, it would have been good to mention to people that you were an extra in a reenactment video from like, you know, emergency 911 type reality show.
Right.
Because she continued to stop it, rewind it, re-listen. No. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And she's, there I am. That's me. And
oh my God.
I mean, look, congrats so on good. Getting a job, but
for real,
I don't know. It's a little awkward.
For a big party. You save the big party for a couple more of those.
Yeah.
And then have a compilation and be if you like that.
Yeah, here's another one.
Is everybody just making eye contact secretly? Like, what are we here for?
Well, this was my friend's neighbor, so I really didn't know anybody at the thing. So I think I was the one person looking around like, wait, is this, are we really watching the back of her head push a gurney down the hall?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Everyone else is like, you did it.
I went to, when one of my specials came out years ago, my friends were like, are you going to have a party? And I was like, no. And they were like, well, we're going to have a party for you. So they had a screening party. I go to it. I turn to talk to my friend while the special's airing. And she goes, shh. And I was like, I'm here in person. That's me pre-recorded. It should be more of a treat than I'm talking to you right now. I'm over here.
She's like,
here I am.
I'm trying to watch the show.
Cork it. Cork it, Tig.
That's really funny. Well, okay. I'm really excited to hear Leisha's answer to this question, but I want to hear yours. Like, because I mean, I feel like with stand-up, there's a million times where you think this is really good and then you try it.
Oh yeah.
It's such an immediate barometer of like, if you try something that's like sort of different to your usual style and you're like, I'm really expanding. I'm really putting myself out there. Going to try this weird like character voice or like, I'm going to try this. And then oh my God. There's a billion of those, but is there anything like more significant than that, that you guys regret?
Mine isn't about stand up.
Okay.
And I actually shared this with Leisha in person once.
Oh my God.
So it's funny that she's asking this question. Oh my God. Sorry for the hiccups.
If you take a cold spoon and you put it on the back of your neck and then drink at the same time.
One of these things, huh?
I know, but this one's legit.
You stand on your head.
You hang upside down.
Somebody sucks on your toes.
And tickle your belly button.
And you do a she-pee.
Yeah, I was just going to bring it back to she-pee. Great.
She-pee. Get yours. Use code handsome. No, we don't have an ad.
Stand on your head. She-pee into your own mouth. And then, okay, so during the pandemic, mm-hmm. I got a plant-based nutrition certification. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested in health and nutrition. And I thought, I love this so much. I'm going to start helping people, and I'm going to start working and consulting people to the best of my ability. And I'm going to do this in the pandemic and on Zoom. And I started helping family and friends and neighbors and comedians. I was like, yeah, I'm into this. And then I was thinking, okay, I'm going to really start, I'm going to start consulting the general public. And,
oh my God. And wait, do you know how famous you are? Like, that if I showed up and you were my nutritionist, I'd be like, what?
Well, it's not technically a nutritionist. It's just a plant-based nutrition certification. Consultant. But it's really a passion of mine. I've just seen such results in my life and my health and the way I feel. And I just, if people are interested, I thought I want to help them if they need help. And I was still kind of holding on to this idea. And then I was doing a movie with Reese Witherspoon. And we were sitting there between scenes chatting. And I was telling her that I'd been doing that. And that I wanted to keep doing it and build on it. And she said, wow, that is going to probably make you like hundreds of dollars. And it was the moment where I was like, oh. And obviously I didn't think I was going to be able to like support myself fully with this, but I was trying to figure out a way to get it into my life where I could be in conversation about health and nutrition and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And in that moment, it made me laugh so hard when she said, wow, you're probably going to make hundreds of dollars. And I was laughing so hard.
For hours and hours of research.
For years. I like work on it for years and then pocket hundreds of dollars. And, you know, here I am telling this to someone who just sold her company for nearly $1 billion. And I'm like, I'm going to get on Zoom with my next door neighbor and help him with his high blood pressure, which, side note, I did.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I love it. I mean,
you're out there doing the Lord's plant work.
That's right.
Yeah, that would be super fulfilling, I think. It is crazy that the earth makes everything we need. Like,
yes,
everything comes from plants, and like, that is crazy.
Yes, that's the whole thing, is everything is right there growing from the ground. But I think in that moment when Reese gave me that dig, it made me laugh so hard, and it also woke me up to, yeah, this probably is a little bit of a silly idea. But yeah.
I don't think it's a silly idea. I think it's something that you've learned about and you have a lot more knowledge about, and you can do what you did with your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
If there's people in your life you have time or feel like sort of giving them
yes
that information, you can. But also, if you don't have time, you don't. But
and I
as
still
a business,
do.
It, yeah, it might be hard. Yeah,
I still do it here and there. But in my mind, I was like, this is just, in fact, you can go to my website and you can see there's a little tab that says Firmly Planted, which was my little consulting company where I was like, click on that. And but in my mind, it was going to be this side thing I did to help people. And now it's just a tab on my website.
What if you get a bunch of requests for
Yeah, the phone is ringing off the hook. I need to get a firmly planted line.
People might want to Zoom with you and be like, yeah, yeah, tell me about that plant-based stuff.
And they just don't even care.
Follow-up questions.
Yeah, that have nothing to do with plant-based food. Anyway, that's mine.
Your heart was in a good place.
That's a good answer. Of just like everyone you're talking to trying to get on board with your enthusiasm, but also being like, I don't think this is your gift to give the world. Like, you have another talent that is really going well for you, so...
You're like, I want to help people, but I also need to pay my bills.
Yeah, my bills are bigger than my need to help. So that's mine, guys. What about you?
That was a good one. Yeah. I mean, I could only really, comedy was the thing coming to mind for me. Because stand up, you take those hits and you kind of go, huh, you can pivot pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can feel when it's not working and either commit to it for the next couple minutes or you bail or you start talking to the audience. There's ways to get around it so you're not like totally humiliated.
Tell us about it. Tell us how to get around it and avoid humiliation, because I'd love to know.
You have to have that humiliation for a minute, but you can make it shorter.
Yes.
But at the Groundlings, I studied there for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. And when I was in the Sunday company, you have to put up these sketches every Sunday that you've not worked out but yet, you've just like gotten it approved Friday night. You've costumed it on Saturday. You've learned the lines on Sunday. It's all very quick and last minute. So I had this idea for 2 flight attendants kind of going off of the Southwest thing where they would sing a lot, you know?
Oh, yeah.
If you've been on a Southwest flight.
Yes, I
Sometimes
have.
You'll get a person just full on singing the instructions for the safety announcement. So I was like, what if we played 2 flight attendants who used pop culture songs to say everything?
Yeah, that seems like a pretty solid sketch premise. I like
that. In your head, you're like, it's not bad. We had on these short bob black wigs and these sweaters.
Bob black wig on you is good.
Come on, right?
Yeah.
And I made my friend do it with me. I wrote the whole thing, and, you know, it was kind of one of those things like, hello, everybody, and welcome to Such and Such Airlines. We're going to be up and away in this beautiful balloon. And we would sing together.
And they would, like,
don't forget your oxygen mask, because how are you supposed to breathe with no air? How are you supposed to breathe with no air? And it was like all these songs. When I tell you, for 5 minutes, you could hear a pin drop. There was not one laugh, not one chuckle. And my friend and I had to commit to this for 5 minutes.
Oh, wait, my God. You didn't start laughing?
I couldn't. I was trying to really sell it still. And we're singing these songs and we're doing like bopping around, like dancing. No one. We have to be like, God, the happiest people, like, this is so fun, Cheryl. Like, we did not get a laugh for five minutes.
Feeling like when it's you and another person in a you know, early on, you're like, this, we're not gonna get a laugh, and the panic in your eyes as you make eye contact,
and the both of us committed 1,000% to it. We got off stage. And I looked at her and she looked at me like we were shell-shocked. And then both bursted out laughing. We're on the floor, like, hyperventilating, laughing.
Oh, my God.
And I go, I'm so sorry I drug you into this. She goes, it's fine.
Who was the friend?
Danielle Weeks is her name. She's such a funny comedian. She's in, like, every commercial and on demand. And I go, I did this to us. I put you in this position. She goes, it's fine. Oh, my God. They hated us. I go, they hated us.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Meanwhile, if you did that now, you'd have the entire venue dying.
Well, me and Tig were really cracking up at that. But maybe that's in the retelling is really funny. But then actually when two people have, like, got the costumes on and, like, there's something a little. But, I like...
I would like laugh it. Even harder.
It was my first couple of weeks in the Sunday company. Oh, so I was God. Pretty green. You know, they always said like that first bomb you'll never forget. And
yeah.
That everybody has it. Like, don't get hard on yourself if it happens. But thank God it was with her. And we just, it was so bad and so uncomfortable that we were wailing laughing.
Oh my God.
I would give anything to see that.
Crawling on the ground, hyperventilating, laughing. I know. I can't. I wish I could remember some more of the songs, but it was just cheesy. I think
I'm
that
glad
was the problem.
You can't.
We were like, this is cheesy.
Mine that I was going to say is pretty similar and not as funny, but it was me and Sabrina Jalice when we were 17, maybe, that's a friend of mine. And we were both like the teen comics in town. So, and we were both doing stand up and character stuff. And then we were like, wouldn't it be explosive if we combined our forces and did sketch? And it was a super like high pressure show with tons of industry there. And we just, I don't know, we got like cocky. We were like, God, the two of us together, and we were such good friends. And then we did this scene that not only wasn't funny, but in retrospect was kind of offensive. Like it was like
yeah,
not good. It was it was like a homeless person who, and then I'm walking by, I'm like, and Sabrina's homeless, and then I'm like, Carol, and she's like, Diane, and then I'm like, we work together, and she's like, oh, I just do this on the side. But it was like, what? Like, what are we saying here? What's the message? Like, this is not funny. And it was just similar, where within like 10 seconds, like, you could have heard a pin drop, and yeah, just knowing we got 7 more minutes of this garbage.
Oh my gosh.
And afterwards, it was, we couldn't get to the laughing part that you had. We're both kind of like couldn't make eye contact with each other. Just were like, well, I guess the friendship's over, kind of.
You're blaming each other for the, you came up with this.
Yes. And then the other thing I thought of was when I was, I think it was the first time I'd ever come to LA, and I was pitching Feel Good. And so I had like a taster for it that I'd made, like a 20 minute pilot that would never air. And I'm having these meetings, and I'm not used to, I just didn't know about that pitching was like a formal process. I thought, yeah, it was just like a meeting. So I went into, maybe it was HBO, or it was one that really mattered. Yeah. And like, they liked the pilot, and they're chatting, and then they were like, oh, you know, so what else have you got cooking? What else are you into? Yeah. And I was like, I really want to, there's this animated idea I really like that where it's Avocado Bear and his sidekick Guacamole. Uh-huh. And I just, the production company I was with, they were like, what? Like, it just was so lame to be like throwing out a weird kids animation idea in the middle of the pitch, being like, well, what about this Avocado Bear and Guacamole?
Now, is Avocado Bear because of the shape of an avocado, like that a bear kind of has that shape?
Yes. So he's okay. Green. He's kind of pear-shaped. He's got a pale green tummy and then
okay,
a darker
I'll buy
green.
It.
Right?
Oh, look at that.
I like it. Yeah, I'll take it.
His sidekick is a mole called Guacamole.
Yeah. I get it. We're a green light. Green light.
Thank you.
And Tig could insert like plant-based knowledge.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, that's true.
And at the end of every episode, be like, if you'd like to hire me for consulting, please click please go to this QR code.
Please click on the avocado bear.
Let's combine our three things. Yeah, so it's avocado bear and guacamole. It's full of tips about like plant-based living, yeah, and then fortune singing pop songs throughout, but
singing
with the
Dolly Parton.
Yeah,
working 9 to 5.
I remember, if you're familiar with my Taylor Dane story and joke bit.
Yes, hello, classic Tig.
When I was first doing that, it was a over 20 minutes.
Oh my God.
It already, after I edited it down, it's now at like 13 minutes. Yeah. When it started, it was 20, maybe more. And I remember being at the Moore Theater in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's where I'm filming my special.
You're filming it at the Moore Theater?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, it was a bad go. And I was like, I was alone. And I was like, oh, just 17 more minutes. Because that story, there's so many layers that I have to put in there to have the payoff. And it, I just hadn't gotten my beats down yet.
Right.
And rhythm. And
I would
say
that's now one of your most famous stand-up stories.
Possibly, if not, I have cancer. But but yeah, anyway,
that's why I said one of.
Yeah, but that was like so uncomfortable to be thinking, oh my God, how am I going to do this? And I still did it. And it was, I just drug the whole theater into the ground.
Oh my God. But you sort of live in that uncomfortability of like you prolonging something.
Sure. This was a little too prolonged. This is. Even I was like, get me the hell out of here.
Because like the masterful thing is that tension you create and then this like euphoric relief from it. But yeah, without the euphoric release at the end. It's,
and there was masterful tension. It was just tense. It was 20 minutes of tension.
They're like,
and then I excused myself.
Excused yourself. Excuse me.
Where's she going with this, Taylor Dane? Tell it to my heart.
That's
Tell
right.
Tell me you're the only one.
How good is her voice?
Really good.
I mean, so good.
How does she feel about being one of your most iconic stand-up bits? Do you know?
I think she likes it. You know, when I... she was very...
she's a fan.
Well, she had heard through the grapevine that I was telling this story about her.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I wonder if it will ever get to her. I wasn't attacking her at all.
No,
I was just truly laying out what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and she happened to be a little snotty in the story from time to time. But I didn't care. I wasn't like, oh, I'm not a fan anymore or screw this person. It was just more like, this is what happened. And this was very uncomfortable. And she did not respond here. And she responded this way in this moment. And then when I finally met her, she said, yeah, you know, she said, I probably had a few cocktails in me. That sounds like me. And that like made me respect her even more because, you know, a lot of people try and back out or be like, I would never have done that. Or, you know, if they're called out on something. But she was like, yeah, that sounds like me. And and so I was like, oh, I like that, you know.
Yeah.
And that she wasn't like rude to me about it. She got a kick. She had a sense of humor about it. So I've always been like, I love that.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I got to Google that bit and listen to it again. It's been a minute.
Well, there is one version of it where that she's in it with me.
Oh, really?
This American Life when I did it.
Okay.
On
right. Yes. Yeah.
And see if you can do the Where's Waldo of my boobs. I still have boobs there, just moments away from finding out I have cancer in that bit.
The Where's Waldo of my boobs.
Yeah. I'm looking right at the boobs when I talk to Dolly and when I talk to you.
My boobs were down here. But yeah, it's if you look up This American Life and Taylor Dane, you'll see.
Yeah.
Should we hear what mm-hmm. Leisha had to say?
Yes.
I'm really pumped about this.
Me too.
This is a really good question. I really want to ask everyone we know this question because I bet everybody's got some weird like creative skeleton in their closet where they're like, I think this whodunit on Mars is going to be my big ticket to the top.
Right.
I have to preface this by saying I was not working when I thought of this idea. I thought there was a very large hole in the pet industry in the costume department with Halloween costumes for pets. And I realized when you would see everyone posting pictures with their animals and costumes, nobody had wigs. Like it wasn't finished, the costume. So I thought, I'm going to make a wig line for pets. So I went as far as I had an LLC. I opened a bank account.
Oh my
I got
God.
Prototypes made.
Prototypes.
I had a booth at a convention with multiple styles. I had, you know, famous icons in history. There was like a Marilyn Monroe. There were sports figures. I had a wig for every animal shaped head, like size of animal. I had beehives it went really far. I even got an appointment with Walmart, and they wanted to put in a big order.
Oh my God.
I really thought this was going to go somewhere. And I worked for months, and I mean, maybe a year. And then I realized when I got the order that I had no way of knowing how to fulfill the orders or make the wigs on a mass scale. I had like 30 of them, and that was it. Anyway, I closed the whole thing down. I still wonder if I had something, because I do see them pop up now, wigs here and there. But yeah, it was called Pet Wigs.
Oh my God. I want to know if this was after or during. Oh no, she said she wasn't working. So I wonder if it was after the L word.
Right.
And if people at the convention were walking up to her booth with Alice selling.
Are you lice?
Yeah. Lice? Is that you?
There's something so funny about the fact that it was just called Pet Wigs, too. Yeah. Like, there was
nothing creative.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, and that's so far.
Why do pets need wigs?
For Halloween. Were you not listening?
Just for Halloween? That's it?
Well, yes. She was clearly out of her mind. She thought this was a good idea. And if you move down the booths at the convention, you hit me right next to Leisha. Where I'm like consulting people on potatoes.
Yeah, I liked her business mind. She's like, I got to get an LLC. I got to get a bank. Like, she was ready to make some money.
Yeah, like this is like you go on Shark Tank. Like, she like she's got a meeting with Walmart. Like,
she could have gone on Shark Tank with that. That's the kind of Shark Tank idea that you need, because you need their investment to do the production to get it all. To fulfill the orders.
Yes.
So you have to be willing to give up 70% of your company.
Oh my God. But imagine a beehive on a guinea pig. Like, that is pretty cold.
Beehive on a guinea pig. It's
Walmart's
worth it.
Like, so let me get this straight. You don't want this big order. You know, it's pretty hard to get us to want to buy something. You're telling me you don't want this.
We've got millions of people reaching out about this guinea pig beehive. You cannot tease us with this and step away. That's really good.
That's a very funny.
Oh, my Lord.
Funny bit.
Yes.
Pet wigs.
And all under the catchy name of Pet Wigs.
Pet Wigs. I really
I'm now
like
thinking
it.
About all the wigs Biggie could be wearing on Halloween.
Oh my God, yeah.
Do you dress Biggie up?
He hates it, but we put him in he doesn't hate the shirts. He does not care for the hats, and the wigs would have been a problem. We dress him up as a ice cream sundae once. And the hat is the cherry on top.
Oh, my
the cherry
God.
Berry on top.
So he was like sitting there just looking at us like, I hate you.
You should put him in a black bob and make him be your sketch comedy partner.
I know.
Do that sketch with you.
He doesn't mind shirts. We've put him in like, people have given him like rainbow sweaters. He looks really cute in that. He has a shirt that says security.
Ooh.
And that's pretty cute when I'm holding him and it looks like he's my security.
You really think people think he's your security, Fortune?
Yes.
More like your security blanket, like he's your attachment object.
Yes.
Yeah.
Soothe.
He's pretty cute in any outfit, truth be told. He's a gorgeous model boy.
Same with our three cats. I mean, Stephanie and I don't know if you and Jax do this, but we just take pictures of our cats doing the typical cute poses that they're always doing, and we text these pictures to each other in the house. Do you do that with Biggie?
Oh, yeah. We take 1,000 pictures and send them to each other.
And did I tell you about the it's worth it?
No, what's it's worth it?
Because Stephanie and I are so used to telling each other, come in here, oh my gosh, Fluff looks so cute, hurry, or like, hurry, Skip or Linus, they look so cute, hurry. And then we'll be like, hold on, I have to finish sending this email. And then now we start being like, come on, it's worth it, it's worth it. Now we start yelling, it's worth it. And then now we are making each other run. And we both fall for it every time.
It's so funny. Yeah, we'll be on the couch and she's like into a show and I'm staring at him. I go, look at him. I go, Jack, look at him right now. Right. Look at him right now.
It's so stupid.
And he's just laying in a bed.
What if you were like in bed reading a book and you just thought that you looked really cute and you were like, come in here and look at me. Hurry. It's worth it. Look at me. Look at me right now.
It's worth it. It's worth it. I'm not above that.
Yeah, me neither.
Sometimes I catch a glimpse and I'm like, how could I possibly get any work done today looking like this?
Well, you know, so handsome. Mm-hmm. How can you not come running there?
Well, that was a fun episode. Thank you, Leisha Haley, for that ridiculous, great, hilarious question. I also want to remind everybody that they can still get the link for our streaming show. That's still for sale for a week.
Yeah, our Valentine's Dynasty Typewriter live show. You can still get that and watch it for a week wherever you are.
You can watch it until February 19th. That's the specific day.
And it's going to be the best thing you've ever watched. And mm-hmm. all your friends are going to watch it, want to watch it with you. They're going to come over and they're going to be like, this is so much better than if y'all were just like an extra on something. We get to see the three of you a lot.
Wow. Yeah, that's well said. Well said, Fortune.
It's worth cheese and crackers.
Yeah.
Whatever you're into.
Go to handsomepod.com for merch. Yeah, I don't know. What else do you guys have going on?
Well, before we get to that, we should wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, shit.
Right.
Because, you know.
It's Valentine's.
It's V-Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, hug your pets. Get him a wig.
Get a sheepie. Just celebrate.
Just celebrate, okay?
And if you hate Valentine's Day, like I used to really hate Valentine's Day because I was like always single all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Screw Valentine's Day. Who cares?
Take yourself on a Valentine's date.
Yeah, you know, sheepie alone in your house. Who cares?
Yeah, treat yourself with a little sheepie alone in your house.
If there are other closeted lesbians out there like I was, and your brother has just given you yellow roses.
Oh my God.
The only roses you're gonna get.
Oh my God, that's so sweet though.
That's just really sweet.
Know that
Aww. There's
hope. You know, one day, you know.
Oh my God,
have
Fortune.
Roses from somebody else besides your brother.
Or if you're dating a closeted queer person, which I was dating someone closeted for years, and she would go to like a singles Valentine's Day gathering with all the other single people.
For real?
Meanwhile we live together.
Wow.
Yeah. So just give yourself a little cuddle if you're in that sitch.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any shows coming up that you want to promote?
I hope some of you guys will join me on the last leg of my stand-up tour. Coming up, I have Poughkeepsie, New York on February 18th. We have a 4:30 show. Woo! Early March, Houston, Texas and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mid-March, Wilmington, North Carolina and Durham, North Carolina. Then Los Angeles, California at the Theater at the Ace Hotel. We've also added 4 new shows. San Luis Obispo, California. Albany, New York. Hartford, Connecticut and Bakersfield, California. Then I have The Beacon in New York City. Rancho Mirage, California, Seattle, Washington, and then Toronto in mid-May. So go to fortunefeemster.com for tickets.
I'm at the Elysian with Stephanie Allen and Alana Johnston on February 15th and 16th, and we're also live streaming that. So you can watch it wherever. You can do a double feature with the handsome live stream, and then watch some improv. And then I'm at Largo on February 24th. It's gonna be sick.
I'm going to be in Peekskill, New York, March 8th. And then there is a second show added in Waterville, Maine on March 10th. And I am going to just be zigzagging between local shows in Los Angeles. Everything will be listed at tignotaro.com, but you can usually find me at Largo or Dynasty Typewriter, you know, those typical haunts. So hope to see you at a show. And until then,
keep it handsome.
Handsome is hosted by me, Mae Martin, Tig Notaro, and Fortune Feemster. The show is produced, recorded, and edited by Thomas Ouellette. Email us at handsomepod@gmail.com and please follow us on social media @handsomepod.
What a podcast!
What a podcast!